Morning. Hope everybody's having a good morning. And yes, you got to listen to me. And I got told that I look good in my suit and tie this morning, so appreciate that. So I figured I told Judy that honestly I was thinking about coming up here in suit and tie, but you guys wouldn't know who I was if I did that. So I better just stay normal here. So, but I'm just going to go over. I got some lesson prepared, but first I'm going to go over a short little review over our camp, because there's a lot of people out here that support our camp, mostly every one of you, and I just wanted to give you a little review of our camp, and then maybe there's somebody out there that would want to come next year for us, because we love building our camp and just making it. But our theme for our camp was take it, make it, save it, create it. Time for God. I mean, that's what my lesson is going to be about a little later on after I go through a review, but everybody needs a little more time for God, don't we? We don't give enough time, in my opinion, for God in our lives anyway. So, but I want to talk a little bit about when Jesus did it, when he retreated. Like we do at camp, when we take the kids out and we retreat, get away from the worldly things, right? Kind of go out and we just have a great time with other Christians, other friends, families, and everything. We just go out there and do it. But what Jesus did it too, for an example. But Jesus, in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So he took time. Who knows how busy Jesus was? That man was way near what busy is what he was, in my opinion. You read about everything that he's done, we ain't near that busy. But Bible camp is really special to everyone and to me, to my wife and everything. It's because it's about his creation, his people, and his time. And I mean, we have so many uplifting things. I mean, I'm going to start. We start the day. Some of you might know this, like Co and Amber and Regina, and we're here and stuff. You guys might already know this, but they love it too, so they won't mind me showing it. But we start the day and early in the morning. We get up and we have a little Devo. And that's the first thing we do is we have a Devo and we sing and pray with our sleepy faces on. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not kidding you. All the kids are just out there, and that's how we get started. And that makes our day that much better after we praise and sing and praise the Lord. We have a good breakfast. As you see Kelsey over there, that's a girl that goes to Blue River and everything. She's over there. She's happy for a good breakfast and everything, feeding the kids well. And before all of our meals, we have a mail call and everything for, you know, whatever it might be. We just have a little mail call. You want to write your counselors or your friends or whatever. And we sit out there for all the meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we have a mail call. And we got, after we do our breakfast, we go out and we have a cabin cleanup time and we have KP duty. And we just clean up all the stuff that the mess we made from the day before, pretty much, is what we do and everything. And then we have our crafts. KP duty, or no, crafts and sports. That's what it is. Sorry. We didn't have any, Julie didn't have any good pictures of sports for some reason. We couldn't find our volleyball pictures and all that. But we had teams up there this year, you know, the orange team, or as you can see in the pictures, we were at different teams. They had to work together in their sports and build the relationship in their sports and everything as a team and everything. So after we do that, we go to a break for a Bible study. And we break up in different age groups. And I want to give a big thank you to all of our counselors that we have here. You know, we got Julie that did the older ones. We had Amber that did the middle age. And then we had a girl named Allie that did the younger group from Blue River. And then we had John. I grew up with John that did the older kids. And we went to camp together when we were little kids and everything too. And his older brothers and sisters and stuff, but he came out with this. And then the younger kid, we had Ben and... thank you. Jeez. I'm glad I have Peter here to preach for me. Ben and Kaya. so a big thank you to our counselors, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do it. We have a lunch, and we have water sports after lunch and everything. We go, there's a little creek, beautiful creek down there, swim in. Or Eric and Emily did a fantastic job on their after travel activities, or they were in charge of all activities, sports, water sports, after travel activities and everything. And there's Wyatt trying to throw a water balloon. I don't know if he hit anybody. So, and then we go to our group Bible studies. We break for a group Bible study after that, and at the beginning we have individual young, young, middle, and the ages in the morning, and then the afternoon, all the girls get together and they talk about what they learned throughout that day, and all the boys get together and talk about what they did that day, and they have a group Bible study in that way. And then there's always free time. You got the kayaking and paddle boating and hockey, playing that good old hockey and pool, and so lots of good free time playing with your friends, enjoying God's creation. And then you got dinner, and I don't want to leave out one of the most important things in my life is the cooks that came out there and did a lot for us and everything. They did a lot of wonderful meals. I mean, we got Co. They did fantastic. Regina, Alan was out there for a couple days. And then we also got the Dev, and she was out there, and she was a fantastic help for those cooks, and what she done, and she seemed like she was even more than a cook out there. Deb was. She worked. Is she here today? I don't know if she's here. I don't see her, but she was like everywhere, and it really surprised me to see get Deb out of her element. She was an amazing woman, so really appreciate Deb. And everybody, even the cooks, you got Co and Regina that did fantastic. Alan that helped Regina for a day, I think, or something like that. So that was really, really good time. We lost Ethan this year. He had to work, understandable though. So then I give you the activities that Eric and Emily were involved in too. I mean, they did a lot of planning for us and stuff like that for all of that. Eric and Emily did a fantastic job. And our campfires, we would go from evening activity to a bedtime snack to a campfire to end the night. We'd have a nice big campfire, and we would sit around, have our night prayer, and sing to the good Lord again. And so, I mean, camp was very, very uplifting for me this year. I think, in my opinion, it was one of the best years we have ever had. But since I've been doing this, it was pretty an amazing factor for me. And I've talked to all the counselors, and the thing they said, it was great. The people we had out there were just all the way to kids and the grown-ups to everything. Of course, we're all kids out there. It was fun. It was a blast. We had a good time this year. So here's another example. You know, we have we got take it, make it, and save it, crave it. And you know, we got here's another example of Jesus taking the. I told myself I would stick with my notes, and but anyway, you got Jesus taking it. Jesus took time away from his work to talk to God. As I said earlier, Jesus was a busy man, and the work that he done was great. He was a great man, and he took time out for himself still to talk to God. I mean, it is very important that we want to do this. Mark 1, 35 to 39, I'm just going to read verse 39. It says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Yeah, here in a little bit, Simon and them, they came following and trying to look for him, like, where were you at? And then he says, let's go on. Because, I don't know, he might have got interrupted during his prayer, but he still had to take this time, very early in the morning, because everybody was after a very, very, an amazing man. I mean, I would be if Jesus was there, and I still am. I'm still after him. I still attack him. I still love him, and that's what I do. But if I knew he was in the other room, I probably wouldn't be up here preaching. We would all be back there attacking him, wouldn't he? So that's what it is. So I really appreciated the scripture reading, but I'm going to talk a little bit about Mary and Martha. They're a thing. What the great lesson this is for taking time out for God. Another thing. You got Mary and Martha, which I'm going to read it again so I can refresh your mind because I've been talking about camp and everything. But it says now in Luke 10:38-42, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" I know we've all heard that story and everything, but I'm going to go into a little more details about Martha here. Martha, we all think that Martha, you know, we in our lives, we probably think that what was wrong with what she was doing? She was serving. She was trying to help the Lord. Help her try to be a good host. Like when we invite somebody in our house, we want to be the best host for them. And especially the greatest person on earth. You want to be the best host in the world, right? Who wouldn't want to do that? You're sitting there and you think about it, here comes Jesus, and you call him into the house, and all you want to do is make sure everything is exactly right for this man, right? So we all look at Martha like, man, that's a pretty good thing that she's doing. But then, the Lord said, but Martha was distracted with too much serving. Do we get distracted with too much serving in our lives and not take time for God, actually? Do we think that we are doing what is right, but maybe we are really not taking the much time for God as we should be? Remember, Jesus served many, but he knew to take time in quiet places to pray. I mean, remember, that's an example. We all want to live like Jesus, right? We all want to live like Jesus. That's our example. We want to serve. And I'm not saying that serving's, don't get this lesson wrong, because serving's a great thing. What I am telling you here is serving can get in your way of of the Lord, between you and the Lord. That's what I'm trying to get at you guys right now. Do we take time for our work and our serving, or are we distracted by it? I mean, think about that. Really honestly think about that, what you do in your life, in your everyday life. What do you do at your work? You know, we wake up in the morning, what are we going to do this? Oh, it's Sunday night, and we're laying in bed, and we got a whole week ahead of us. Work, you know, whatever, you know, school, sports. I don't know, there's many, many things that we do. Everybody does something different. Fishing, hunting, you know, there's so many different things out there in this world that we want to do and that we do. But do we get distracted by it? Does that take away from the little time? You know, how hard is it to wake up in the morning and to say a little prayer? Do you guys make time for that? Or how hard is it to wake up in the morning, say a little prayer, and then right before you jump in your car, say another one. Help me, dear Lord, for this day. Maybe go on and you get off before you walk into your office building, or walk onto a construction site, or whatever you might do, or before you get on that boat and go fishing. Do you take time before you go? Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, beautiful creation that you've given me. Help me be the light that you want me to be. We got a little something else about Martha here. You know, she was anxious and troubled about many things. She was worried about so many things that could happen. Things that I worry about. Does my place look all right? Because I got Ethan. He came over this week. I got Ethan coming over here. Is everything all right? But in the real term, everybody, if you know Ethan, Ethan can care less. He's out there just wanting to enjoy God's creation just like I am. But do I worry about it? Yeah. I'm like, I still sit there and worry about, you know, well, is everything in a good place? Especially, my wife does the same thing. We need to get this clean. We need to do this. We need to do that. You know, and there's everything that we're sitting and worry about. And that's just a little part of it. Because that is not what keeping us busy. But Martha, you know, she was worried about just having this gift. She was anxious and troubled about so many things other than what it should have been. Does that sound familiar to people? I mean, honestly, does that sound familiar? Think about that for you guys. I mean, does that really sound familiar in what we do? Of all the things that we worry about, what are the things that really are necessary? One thing is necessary. It says in verse 42, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Is the necessary thing even on your list? On your little checklist that you have to do during the day, throughout the day, throughout the week, through your month, on your calendar? You know, everybody has a calendar. We got to live by it, right? Is that necessary thing on your calendar? Every, if you can, you would turn into 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation, and someone else build upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Think of that right there. We got it in bold print up there, but let each one take care how he builds upon. For no one can lay a foundation other than what it which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built upon the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So what is your foundation? Is your foundation Christ, or is it these worldly things that we're trying to live on? There's a lot of stuff out there in this world. Are we actually taking care of what we build our foundation on? I mean, seriously, I mean, all these worldly things. If you see that picture right down there, I don't know if you can tell or not, and everything, but it's a bunch of crumbled bricks, houses, everything. Do we worry about that stuff more than what in this world than what we should be worrying about? Is that really the necessary thing in our life? That's not our necessary thing in our life. What's really necessary in our life is what? The good Lord, God. That's right. So when trials and tests come into your life, will you have anything left that cannot be taken away? So we get all these trials in our lives, right? Will they be able to be taken away from us? I mean, if there's things in our life that that we really, really care about, you know, and there's and we just gotta have it and everything. Does that really matter? Is that really something that is going to be taken away from us in one day in our life? I'm not saying that we shouldn't have things. We shouldn't have a nice home. If you want a nice home, but do we worry about that home more than anything else in the world? Do we worry about that car more than anything else in the world? Do we worry about our sports than taking time for God? Do we worry about schooling, whatever it might be, than actually taking time for God? There's so many things that we can concentrate on that won't last forever. And there's one thing that will truly last forever for us. So we talked a little bit about Martha, and now we're going to talk a little bit about Mary. Mary, what'd she do? She sat at the Lord's feet. And she listened to His teaching. Mary has chosen the good portion, which is not taken away from her. She stopped. She listened. I read something actually real quick. I'm not going to go too big into it because everybody was taught stop, drop, and roll when they were a little kid. Right? Stop, drop, and roll. If you're on fire. This lesson, I think, would be a good one is stop, drop, and listen. Stop, drop, and listen to what somebody's got to what the good Lord has got to tell you, because He's there. So I'm going to ask. So if I was Martha, I'm sitting here thinking. She goes, and you know, she's sitting there trying to do all these things, making things that are right for her, making things that is really, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I'm trying to do everything that's right, and then she hears this, and she's like, what is the good portion? What is that good portion that you're trying to, that you're telling me? You know, that's what I'd be like, because her mind was wrapped around so many other things, and she was anxious about so many other things she wasn't one thinking about. And she's like, what is the good portion? So, think about yourself. Are you making a good, do you have a good portion? A portion is a part of a whole. So there's a lot of things available for her to do that day. I mean, she had so much to do. A portion is part of something. She chose the one part, one thing that was necessary in her life. She stopped, dropped, and listened. That's what she wanted to do. So she was going to make it time. She was going to make time, and nothing was going to get in her way. She was going to take the time she spent with Christ and save it. Everything that He says, He does, He likes, He lives, and how He lives. And now, after she does all that, she's going to crave it. She's going to want more and more and more of it. And that's when you start getting involved in the good Lord. There's nothing better. You guys will find it. He will thrive in you. He will just, and you will want so much of it, which I have just learned here in the past 2 years of my life, I can't get enough. It is amazing, people. Amazing. So I ask right now, are we more like Mary or Martha? Not saying Martha was a terrible woman, because we know she wasn't. She was not. But are we more like Mary or Martha? Do we follow the example of Jesus? Do we want to actually do a man that is very popular? Do we want to get away from the crowd and actually take time to think about the good Lord? For Him. Take time for God. That's what the kids learned. How do we sit at the feet of Jesus today? I know Christ isn't incarnate today with us, but Jesus is with us. He's just as powerful as Mary sat at His feet. And He's just as profound, who deeply wants a relationship with all you guys. And also, we've got the Holy Spirit to guide us, to care for us, and we got the Word of God to spread and to love and to pour over everything, right? So, and I was sitting there thinking, when I just, before I got up here, we just sang, Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God. I didn't ask, David texted me this morning and said, is there any songs you want me to sing? I'm like, no. I said, I can't really ponder on it and everything, but that is the song that I wanted him to sing. You know, it about got me to cry before I got to walk up here. So that's what it is and everything. So, but in this, Christ is alive today. And He's knocking at the door. Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he is with me. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened.
So he's there with us. He is alive with us today. He wants you to make time for him, and that's what we're here for in this world. He wants it. He craves you, and once you get into him, you're going to crave him. So I ask you guys, more than anything on this day right now, is to just take time for God and give him the time that he needs. He will help you, and he will save you, and he will make you more happier than anything in this world can make you. These worldly things do not last forever. The good Lord does. That's it. That's the main thing I want to do. These worldly things, I'm a outdoors hunting, fishing person like nobody, but you guys mostly know me and everything. I love it. I cannot get enough of it. But my boat, my fishing stuff that I love so much won't last forever. That man will. That's who I thrive on. That's who makes me live in my everyday lives. And I ask you guys that this time, just make him in your lives somebody that can do. Go out and shine your light for him, because he loves you and he wants a relationship with each and every one of you. So I ask if there's anybody that needs prayers from me, the elders. There's many people here in this congregation that will be here for you, and you feel the door, the good Lord knocking at your door. If you would, please come forward at this time and let him knock, and we will open it, and we will help you to pray, or we'll help you to be who you need to be. We are all here for you and for the Lord, and he is there with you to walk. So if you would, please let us stand and sing as we sing the song.